Blog Talk Radio.
We would like to welcome you to Missing Pages of History. This is a program that is dedicated to serve underserved communities. We are missing pages, which means when it comes to underserved communities, many times their contribution, their place in history has been either omitted or intentionally was not recorded. And what we want to do is give the people a chance, a voice, to fill in their missing pages, to tell their story. And today we're going to be discussing this whole idea of what is going on as relates to this confrontation between Syria and U.S. In essence, what is this all about and how it may impact us as a community? We'd like to have your general assessment, your general feeling. We'd like to do a survey. We'd like to have your thoughts on, do you think whether or not there should be any kind of confrontation between these two countries, or should there be some kind of process that can allow us to come to an understanding that there are no need to fire any kind of weapons or mass destruction to kill no one. So right now we have our Mr. Page's History contributors and our analysts. They will be sharing their perspectives. On the first part of this program, we're going to talk a little bit about Syria. Then we'll open up our phone lines to our listening audience. You can call in at 818-337-0016. That's 818-337-0016. We want to let you know that this is your program. So let's get started. We have with us one of our analysts and contributors, Mr. Joyner. He can share us his general take on what he can make out with this whole issue of this confrontation that's going back and forth between Syria and the U.S. Mr. Joyner, what is just your general assessment analysis that maybe you want to share with our listening audience on the situation of Syria?
Well, we have to get to the bottom line first, really, what's going on. And right now, it's mainly a trifold. It's Russia, it's Syria, and the U.S. today. And the thing is, Russia has been supplying me with the dictatorship Assad with weaponry, and also, as we know now, chemicals. Assad admitted that he got the chemicals from Russia, and he used the chemicals. Now, 90% of the countries in the United and in the world do not agree on using chemical weapons. 98%. That's almost all of them. So, when you use chemical weapons, that against 90% of the world saying this, that's in stone. President Obama is doing the best he can to stay from a confrontation. He don't want boots on the ground. He don't want to do no bombing. It will not be a war. It's just a confrontation with civil unrest. You're only talking about 22 million people, and 6 million are refugees from surrounding nations. 22 million people, and half of them are children. So what do you have? You got a dictatorship that's totally out of control, was handed down from a son, from the father, rather. And all we're trying to do is get in the process, and Putin is agreeing a little bit with us. Well, how we can trust him, I just don't know yet, because he's former KG guy, so you just don't understand him sometimes. But he admitted, yes. So I don't think it's going to be a confrontation, and I disagree with the confrontation. If they do, it would be just mainly an internal strike with guided missiles. Guided missiles are not bombs. Guided missiles are not bombs. Boots on the ground, different story. Not going to have that. And again, we can't make money off of the war, especially on the GOP side. They want to make money. They're the war boys. They're the war hawks. This little skirmish will not last 5, 10 years. You can't make any money. They don't want it now because it's going to be short strike. Whether if they do it, it's going to be very, very easy with guided missiles. Again, guided missiles. The word guided. Understand, look up the word in the dictionary, guided. I'm a war person. 25 years I worked in aerospace. I know what I'm talking about. It's guided missiles. And we can knock a flea off an elephant's butt in Africa with a guided missile. They're guided. They're not bums. Different ballgame. This skirmish will last maybe 3 to 6 days at the most. You're only putting strikes on armaments. You're only putting strikes where you need to put strikes at to disarm them, basically. The regiment that he has, the army that he do have, which is nothing. Maybe 5,000 soldiers at the most, maybe 20 at the most. That's all you have. You have nothing here. So we got to stop trying to make some out of something. That's nothing. It might cost us $1 billion in guided missiles and armaments, putting our ships up and everything else, $1 billion. It will not cost $1 trillion like Iraq cost us. And wars are costly. We don't need a war. A little skirmish like Grenada is not going to hurt anybody. But you cannot let this man use chemical weapons now and ever again. But at least I like one thing about him. He said, I use them, and I have chemicals. I do have them. At least he came from that lie from the beginning. You cannot go and do this type of thing without being punished to a certain extent. You got to make sure. You got to put somehow the ironclad. Make sure they don't use this ever again against his people.
Okay, we are here, Mr. Jones, analysis on this situation. We'd like to now go to our next analyst, Mr. McHale. What is your general make on this, take on this particular issue of this confrontation between U.S. and Syria?
That's going to be the new one.
McHale, what is your general take on this issue between the confrontation?
Yeah, well, this particular instance seems to be very similar to what the neocons have been putting out for quite a while, in that they've had a plan for maybe 15 years or so or more to destabilize that entire region. Now, the problem with, and I do understand that there's a difference between a guided missile and a regular bomb, but the problem, and this is a question for those who know about it, can that guided missile, if it hits a chemical dump, will it vaporize the entire shipment of that particular dump, or will that cause that chemical gas to leak? So that's my question there. Other than that, I look at what the president has done by bringing it before the Congress and before the United Nations. He's been able to avoid, at least at this point, getting us involved in any kind of a full-fledged conflict. Even though it may not be a big country, there's still Russia and China sitting on the sidelines, and they seem to be very, very adamant in keeping this thing from being another U.S. Invasion. We've seen Iraq, you've seen Afghanistan, Libya, Tunisia, Egypt, and from what I understand, the neocons had Syria on that list also. And then we need to also consider what Israel's role may be in this entire conflict. And it'd be great if this was just a straight up event, but as the history of this country and a lot of the countries around the world have shown, there's very little straight about these people. It is about money, it's about power, and it's about access to resources.
You know, I would like to I can read two particular questions that I found of interest that came from a survey poll that was done by Common Dreams this past week. And I would like to raise this question in the context of understanding how a democracy works as it relates to the interests of the people. Many times there has been claims that wars are fought for the interests of a nation or the interests of the people. And the representatives should speak according to what is in the best interest of the people and what they want. I can read these two statements, and I would like to have Emmanuel, then I'll come back to you, McHale, your response to these two statements based upon the survey. The first question they raise, do you support Congress giving President Obama the authority to launch a limited and force military operation in Syria? And from this particular survey, this is 5.4% agree or supporting them. 89.12% said no, they don't agree. And not sure was 5.4%. That was in question number one. So you have 89% of people, according to this survey, is not in favor of giving him the authority to launch a limited and focused military operation. Then there was another question came from the survey that stated that, is there sufficient evidence that was clearly identified that the Syrian government was responsible for the chemical weapons against the civilians last month? From the survey, based upon the people in America, 10% said yes, there were clear evidence that the Syrian government were behind the releasing of the chemical weapons. 60.99% said no, there was not clear evidence, and not sure was 28%. Now, based upon the response of the people, based upon the survey of the American people, if you was in President Obama's position and you're speaking on behalf and the interests of the people, Mr. Joyner, how would you deal with the results of that survey? How would you respond to it as it relates to the people's concerns?
Yeah, first of all, where was the survey taken? That's first of all. You have 315 million people here, and you can't.
They had
a
total. They said they did it last week. They had a total of 20,000 people that they ran.
You're talking
survey.
About 312 million people. 20,000 people is not a very good survey. How many states they went into? All 50 states? They're not a good survey. So that's, first of all, I downplay the survey. 20,000 people can be found in one little small city. It's where the survey was taken. It's not a common sense survey. Everything common sense is not common. That's number one. Number two, answer the question, I'm at the veil talking about hitting a chemical dump. We don't hit chemical dumps. That's first of all. Guided missiles can't do that. I just said what a guided missile can do. It can knock an ant off elephant's butt in Africa. So they know what they're hitting. That's number two. That's one thing. We're not clear. We don't understand, first of all. Once we understand the word guided, I think we understand. It's run by computers. We can do anything we need to do. We can hit a doorknob off a door, you know, a 1,000 miles away. Just hit the doorknob, hit the hinge. We can take a pane out of a window, not the whole window, just a pane. That's how good we are. See, we don't know. And neocons don't know. They don't know. They can't make money, don't want it, first of all. It's where the polls are taken. First of all, President Obama is what he is. African-American president, thank you. We know, always disagree on that, regardless of what he did. In April, they wanted to strike. All the Republicans wanted to strike. Let's go, what you going to do? Now he's doing something. Now they go the other route. Like everything else he does. If he's for it, they're against it. If he's against it, they're for it. Regardless where he's right or wrong. So forget about the survey. They don't hold up what they need to hold up. People only got to understand the word limited. What does limited mean? I know what it means. I'm a Vietnam veteran, been to Vietnam. I know what limited means. I know when there's money involved. But if you want, you can't make money off of this one. You made money off Iraq. Made money off the Gulf War. We made so many parts, I told you before, we throw them in the ocean. Made too many. Everybody making money. Especially in Texas, down south. That's where most of it's made. Alabama. That's where this war goods are made. They can't make any money. They don't want it. GOP owns most and donated most to the war causes, and they own the factory that make the war goods. You got to look at, again, we got to look at the underskirt. We just can't get to the fringe. Got to look at the root. What's the root cause? We never look at roots. What they tell us out on the front. They don't know. They don't know. They don't want no part of me, because I'm going to tell them like it is. Nobody wants no part of me, because I'm in there. I know the deal. I know the underlying figure. And the other question is, a limited attack? Yes. We know for a fact they have chemical weapons. Assad came out and said it and where he got them from. So that's no question no more. Yes or no question. That's a yes question now. No got to be involved anymore. 100% he used them and he has them and who he got them from. And Russia has admitted, yes, they sold them to them. And they sell weapons to them too. I say it again. Look at the export and look at the import and see who benefits from what. Look who benefits. That's the key. Who benefits from everything? So the bottom line is, yes, they have chemical weapons. And answer Mr. Mike's question was, no, we're not going to hit a chemical dump or that kind of stuff. We don't do that kind of stuff.
Okay,
that stuff is not happening. Not striking none of that. We know what we're doing, believe me. This military we got is the best in the world. Nobody's even close to us. And we're talking about Russia and China, everybody else. People, look and see what we got around Russia and China. We have 149 bases around these countries. We're looking at them at all given times. Russia can't get up out of nowhere. We got everybody on top of Russia. We got the Suez Block. We got Italy. We got Pakistan. We got Italy. We got Japan. We got South Korea. Everything is looking at Russia and China. That's why three-quarters of our Navy is around China and around Russia. They can't get up out of there. Ain't nobody around us. When Cuba tried to get around us or get close to us, Kennedy said, get it out of here. Nobody is looking at us. We got Greenland, we got Iceland, we got people around everybody but us. Believe me, we got a security blanket nobody has. Go check it out.
Oh, I know, Mr.
We just don't know.
We got to stop you, and we're going to say our analyst, Mikhail, we'd like to get your views on this poll survey as reflects the people we are interested. How would you respond to it if you were the president? Or do you think the president should take that into consideration?
Well, I'm sure he's already taken that into consideration, and I'd say wisely so. I don't doubt the power of the United States military. However, it's been war after war, incident after incident. I can't really remember a time that we've had peace, and I've been around 56 years. But there's money in war, and in this particular case, it may not be a direct cash flow from the actual conflict itself, but we see the involvement of the European countries along with the United States has brought down a lot of countries in the Middle East, and that seems to be a plan. This is what the neocons have published. It's out there to be looked at, and they're not going to stop whether it's this president or the next. It's up to that particular president to do the best they can within that situation. When I look at President Obama and his family, basically it's as if you joined the mafia. That's just my personal opinion. This country has a very powerful influence around the world and is decided it's going to keep it. What we see in Mali with the insurgents there, turns out just like in Libya, there's a mixed group. Some are fairly legitimate and others are part of what they call Al-Qaeda. And we've seen from the Afghanistan conflict that we had supported under Reagan, had supported Al-Qaeda and perhaps actually helped form that. Go back far enough in history, you'll find that even the country called Saudi Arabia today, who is one of the people who are one of the countries supporting the invasion of Syria, were formed not by any means of their own, but through T.S. Lawrence, or a.k.a. Lawrence of Arabia, under the financing and direction of England. And they worked out a deal where Abdul Wahhab, the founder of what they call Wahhabism, which is part of the foundation of the so-called terrorists, were supplied arms and money along with the Saudi tribes, and this was in exchange for access to oil. It worked out great for the Saudi kingdom. They're filthy rich, and they seem to be more involved with keeping their riches than and taking care of even their own populations. So it's not really, to me, it's not a simple picture. It's a very complex picture. I just know that I'm glad that we haven't gotten in there, at least at this point.
Okay, we're going to stop right now. Alert our listening audience that they can feel free to call in at 818-337-0016. We would like to get your views, your opinion on this confrontation between Syria and U.S. How do you view this? What are the major objectives that the U.S. is trying to achieve when it comes to whether or not, if they will or will not strike? That's one of the questions I would like to raise with my audience as well as with my analysts when we come back. So right now, we're going to take a caller. We have a caller on the line, and when we call out the last four numbers of your phone number, you can respond. So right now, we're going to caller number 7687. Caller 7687. Your question or comment, caller, you're on the line. Yes, caller 7687. Your question or comment, please.
I don't have no comment right now, okay? I need to read some more up on it myself, okay?
All right, we thank you, caller. Okay, caller says she's planning on doing more research on this information. She's listening. We'll go to Mr. Joyner. And Mr. Joyner, I think one of the key things when we look at this issue of what's going on today, people's asking, what is the end game? What is really the real objective, even if there is a strike? What is your understanding? What's the real objective intent of this confrontation? What is it that U.S. has to gain by striking Syria? What is your understanding? What is the real motive behind it?
Did not look for any type of gains. We get into a picture of gain and loss, and this, that's not the whole thing, gang. The emphasis again was placed on chemical weapons. You cannot. People have. They're having wars all the time. The Bible speaks of war. We're never going to forget. You know, war is going to be as long as we live. That's just the name. It's just going to happen. The world began with wars. So the world going to end with wars. It's the Armageddon going to be the biggest war of all. But you just look at it. But the thing is, there's no gain for us here. All we're trying to do, we're in almost 200 countries around the world. We are the policemen of the world. Yes, we are. Because we have all types of, you know, all type of immigrants here from all over the world. Everybody comes here because of the freedoms that we have, things that they can do. So, again, we have to look at children. You know, and the Bible speaks about several little children coming to me. So that's my whole thing. Kids don't have nothing to do with anything, basically, until they get grown. But, again, you can infiltrate these kids with the wrong type of propaganda, the wrong type of teachings. And, again, like Mike was saying, the whole thing is about oil. When you don't have any oil and your country needs oil, where are you going to get it at? You went to Saudi Arabia, Iran, Iraq, they're the oil nations of the world. We have oil here. See, we don't have that problem. Mexico got oil. We have oil in North America. See, they don't have no oil in Europe. So Europe's going to be agitating as long as they still don't deserve because they don't have anything. They agitate in Africa, agitate in South America. They agitate, of course, in the Middle East because they don't have the armaments. When you're talking about arms and this and that, they have rifles. They got little stuff, AK-47s. They don't have missiles. They don't have bombs. They don't have the stuff. So that's why they have to succumb to any powerful nation. And the most three powerful, you got the five nations, basically, are powerful. France, Great Britain, Russia, China, U.S. of A. The rest of these nations are not powerful at all. They have nothing. They have zero. We have states powerful than they are. Fort Bragg, North Carolina, got more stuff than most of these, you know, other countries have other than these five. We got more stuff than here in North Carolina than they got in all the other countries probably put together. I mean, that's how powerful we are. I know how powerful we are. We can knock the earth off of its. No one is close to being as powerful as we are. Russia is split in half, first of all. They're not as powerful. China, nowhere close to power as we are. They got men. We don't need men. The stuff we got, we don't need no men. China can't even get up off the ground. With men, please. And guided missiles going against men, let's, no, come on. We know we'll just stop it. We don't know we'll just stop it.
We're going to have to stop you right here because we're running out of time. We would like to get a response from Mikhail, in terms of what does he see as the overall gain objectives that the U.S. is trying to achieve as it relates to this so-called confrontation against Syria? What is your analysis on that?
Well, I agree with Mr. Joyner in this part. We have become the policemen of the world. Going back to the Vietnam War, France was in Vietnam for, what, over 100 years, I believe. The Vietnamese were pushing them out of position, and that's when the United States became involved, and I believe that started off as a covert war, and eventually it went into the long, drawn-out process that we witnessed back in those days. And the policy hasn't changed too much. Dr. King was concerned about this. Eisenhower spoke about this war machine, and that the machine would take a life of its own and become dominant in the direction the country would go in. When you look at Europe, Mr. Joyner is very exactly on point. There are very little, if any, resources in Europe. That's one of the reasons they left and spread out around the world. For their survival, it's important for them to have control, and the control will be political and social and in terms of resources. And that's what we see. We've seen all this Arab Spring, which is turning into an Arab Summer and an Arab Fall. And with AFRICOM, we don't know what they'll be involved with next. As I said, you can't always go on the surface of the thing. There's a lot of intrigue, a lot of manipulations, and you don't know who's playing without a scorecard. We saw in Libya, Gaddafi said there were terrorists involved with these rebels. We saw the same thing with in Syria now. That's the accusation. You look at Iraq, it's still destroyed. Still, matter of fact, the terrorist activity has risen up or grown because of the Syria conflict. And the problem with China and Russia is not only men, but they all have thermonuclear weapons. Now, hopefully nobody's crazy enough to push that button and get that going, but again, I'm just glad that our president has been wise enough to sidestep that whole issue. If it had been a problem, he would have been the fall guy.
Okay, we'll stop right there. We'd like to alert our listening audience that we're going to go over a little bit today. And if you don't hear the entirety of this particular program, you can always go to our archive by logging in on www.blogtalkradio.com/missing-pages-history. So we'll continue, and we're going to move over to another subject that is directly related to the subject we were talking about earlier, Syria. We're going to talk a little bit about this whole question of democracy and how our institution must respond to our interests and our needs. And right now, coming up, there's the election coming up in 2014. And it's a battle over who's going to get the votes so they can control the different parties. And when you control the parties, you get to choose people to acquire certain seats and certain institutions where they can make decisions and they can allocate resources based upon their philosophical belief. Given the fact that I stated that there's an issue that we call voter ID that is going on throughout the U.S. right now in terms of whether that people should have some kind of identification card to be able to vote. We can talk a little bit about that because the next set of elections are going to set a tone in terms of what the future direction of this country will be for the next 20, 30 years. So around the issue of the voter ID issue, we'd like to ask Mr. Joyner, can you just give us an idea how critical this issue of the voter ID is and what needs to be done to make sure that we get greater participation to make sure the people choose the kind of leadership that they would like to have in the future. So, Mr. Joyner, what is this voter ID issue all about? And how can we make sure we don't lose people for the voting block or booth?
Well, first of all, voter ID is very partisan. Gerrymandering has been a problem of that. And the states, that state which are controlled most by the Republicans now, most of the states are, they are trying to reverse what happened in 1964 and 65. And what's going on with that is, by the gerrymandering, they're trying to put African Americans, minorities, into certain zip codes, and have two or three representatives for that particular population. There might be 100,000 people in that particular zip code. It might be 50,000. You have two reps. Now you go to another community, which is European Americans. There might be 20,000. They get six representatives. And this is what's going on. They're trying to push you into the particular zip codes and gerrymandering and put these lines in there where you can't vote in this particular area. You have so many reps coming up out of here. This is what's going on, basically. Now, voter ID, why can't we use the same ID we had when Nixon and Reagan and everybody else? All of a sudden, this President Obama gets in, and now we got all this stuff comes up. Never came up before. Never came up before, now it comes up. So, of course, it's racist, very prejudicial. That's what it's all about. And the GOP is creating all this because they will not win and will not win a presidential election again. They're out of it, and they know it. No one believes in what they believe in. Nobody. Not in themselves. But again, it's all about pigmentation. It's all about the 15-16 versus the 1-16. This is what this is all about. Voter ID, what form of ID do we need? Name it so we can get it. We're going to play your game because it's nothing but a game. Tell us what we need. Now, how do we get it? And make sure that European Americans have the same ID that we have. You're targeting one group of people. You're targeting one group of people, the 1/16th. That's who you're targeting. We have to make sure it gets monitored, make sure everybody has the same ID. Everybody, including the majority as well as the minority. Everybody got the same. That's our job. How do we do this? One of the major forces, mass of people, churches. Every church should set aside an administrator to make sure everybody, 10 million people go to church every Sunday, minorities. 14 million Latinos or Hispanic go to church. That's 24 million people. Well, that's quite a few. I think President Obama won by 5 million. So you're talking about 24 million. We need to get the churches together across this country and say, what ID do we need? Make sure the pastor get involved and the administrator get involved, the trustee board gets involved. If you have attorneys, make sure the attorney of the church gets involved to make sure that we know exactly what we need for an ID. And we're going to take a picture of the ID, too, for the church. So the church going to have one, and whatever the registration, but whoever, they're going to have one. Because things change. People move, they get married, they get divorced, people go to prison. A lot of the immigrants, all kind of things happen. They change universities, they talk about student ID. So we got to make sure, 18 years old or older, that everybody has the proper ID. Get the youth minister involved or the youth of your church involved and make sure this happens. Get administrators of universities, make sure that happens. So we got to make sure we have a strategy to make sure we combat this, special down south. This is where most of the things happen in 33 states, where they want to change the laws. So let them change them, their laws. We just got to get amended to the game and make sure that there are no obstacles in the way and make sure, double check, triple check, whatever it takes. If people don't have money to get birth certificates, or you know, license or ID card, $20, $15, $30, the church should take up a collection or an offering every Sunday to make sure that the senior citizens, people who are social assistance, that they can pay for this. Make sure it happens. Set up a committee in the church. This is the strategy I'm going to use here. I'm being an NAACP advocate here out of a little town here, my hometown, and they're asking me to help. My health reason won't help us so much, but I'm going to be on the advisory committee to do this. And this one, I'm going to tell them what to do and put this on email, YouTube, whatever it takes to do. It's what we're going to do. I'm going to show them the strategy. I'm going to show them how to execute. But we got to get to the masses of the voters. We got to make sure this happens. Anywhere we meet, a lot of us meet. Main thing is the churches and the schools, basically. The universe is where we are. And this is where they're coming at. And the minority, and where the town hall meetings, we need more town hall meetings. These are things we need to do. And the church is a place we need to go to do this at. We got to do this. We got to make sure, number one, we have the right ID and make sure we own the books and registration. And we got to make sure we go to the polls early. We got to make sure the lines are not being long. The polling places are cut out on Sunday. When you leave church, you can't go no more. So all this stuff has to happen this way. We got to get out in front of the Walmarts, the Targets, the big box stores to make sure this happens. These are things we got to do. We got to make sure it works. There's got to be accountability, got to be there. We got to make sure that their reports are given to the churches, the schools, the universities, in front of the Walmarts, the Targets, whatever. So this is what people that we registered, these people got the right ID. Then we put the numbers together. And once we do that, it's all about numbers. Once we do that, we have beat them at their own game. This is a game. And don't worry about protesting, walking the sidewalk with signs. That's not voting. That is not voting. You got to have an ID. That's the subject matter. Not protesting all the crazy stuff we do sometimes instead of executing, getting in the car, putting the key in, stop looking at cars. We got to go in and buy one and look at one. Start it up. We got to start this up and start it up now and get on the road and do this. Make sure everybody that had an ID prior or they're trying to suffocate with this ID stuff, make sure whatever it takes, make sure we got the right ID and we have to start it now.
Okay, we'd like to get a perspective from Mikhail. How has the issue of voting suppression, how have those issues been displayed in the state where you're from, Brother Mikhail? What are some of the things people are saying and how you think this voter ID issue would play out in terms of enhancing LP participation in the voting process?
Well, I agree 110% with Mr. Joyner on getting that participation up. And in addition to the churches here in Philadelphia and I'm sure in other cities, we've added mosques, temples, and any other organization that people belong to. And I'd like to add one other thing. Here in Philadelphia, the kids have just gone back to school, and there's been a lot of cuts. It's very underfinanced. And one of the things they did cut out was civics class. And those of us who can, who've been around for a minute can remember civics class gave you some basics on how the voting, the government, city, municipal, state, et cetera, how that all worked and how the voting process was, how important the voting process was. They've taken that out of the schools here. And I think for the average African, so-called African-American or Latino or whatever, any of these groups or Americans in general, there's a very servicey kind of understanding of the voting process. We need to bring that civics class to the churches, to the mosques, to the streets. And we can begin affecting other things besides just the presidential election. We can affect voting laws in our states. We can affect what goes on in the municipal courtrooms with the election of judges and so forth. So there's a lot of work to do, and it's not going to be just we can't afford to be too servicey about it any longer. The other folks, whether you want to define them as Republicans or European Americans or whoever the opposition is, they're at the top of their game, and we got to step our game up a little.
Okay, I'm going to ask this question for both of my analysts today and contributors for Mr. Page's history. And why don't you give me a response within 2 minutes? And that question is, we often talk about voter participation. We talk about mobilizing people to go to vote. But we never really spend a lot of time educating people on what they should vote for and what should be their needs and interests. Given the historical relationship of the majority of the people who comes out to vote, they give a vote, and then after they give a vote, a lot of times they not receive the things from their expectation from their vote. What I'd like to ask from both of you, what should be some demands that we should ensure that in the future, whoever get our vote, these are the things we consider important? Give me a program, Mr. Joyner. What are some important things that we should make sure that people have on the table if they're going to receive our votes?
things that you know, you look at freedoms, that's number one. Free to do certain things you want to do. But again, with the states having power and the federal government having power, the two often conflict. But again, you know, it's all about taxes, what the money is being used for. We have to see, well, what my dollar is being used for? How is my dollar being used? Then you got to look at who's being targeted in a certain way. So we look at certain things that people want to get done and don't get done. One vote, some, you know, don't change things. People are tired of minimum wage. Who can live off of $7? People, you know, $7.15 an hour, $7.25, whatever it is. You can't live off. Once you take that dollar and spend gas and going back and forth to work and food and this, you end up making about $2.50 an hour. Well, who is getting rich? You know, who is getting rich? Who's getting this and getting that? But again, they got to keep you where you are, so there's going to be a program to make sure they keep you where you are. And that's what the GOP sustains that program, talking about welfare, food stamps, and all of this. But they talk about. And this is this thing they do to distract you, because they're going to keep what they got. So these are the kind of things that we have to look out for. As far as our voting concern, we got to vote for the best kind of who I call special needs. This country is in special needs. Anytime you got 44% poor working people working, they're still poor, but they're working. This at your fast food places, this type of thing. Don't get, you'll get minimum wages and this type of thing. Jobs. So these are things we need to get up is wages. You're in a capitalist society. You have to have money to live here. What does it take to live here? The level is 30,000. Can't nobody make under 30,000, regardless of what kind of job it is. So we got to set that standard. That's what I vote. That's what I'm looking for. It takes money to stay here. You got utility bills to pay, all the things you got to pay. You can't do it off $7.25. It doesn't work. But nobody wants to talk about it. The president talked about it. Need to get minimum wage up to $10 an hour. You got to get it up to poverty level. That's common sense. That's what you got to get it up to. If you can't make it off of $7.25, who can? Let the guys who make the laws, let them live off of $7.25 an hour. Let the Congress people, let the Alderman people, let these council people, let them live off $7.25 an hour. Let's see if they can make it. See, that's my question on my vote. Let me see, can you make it off $7.25? Let's pay you $7.25 an hour. You come to work almost every other day, or 2 days a week, the congressmen do. You get off 5 weeks vacation. You don't do nothing. You haven't done nothing since you've been there. All you do, your whole agenda was to stop Obama. That was your whole agenda since you've been there. And you got paid. You got paid this whole year stopping Obama, everything he's trying to do right. Trying to do
okay,
right.
Okay, Mr. Jordan, we got
to stop
here.
You don't want nothing.
Hey,
and Obama
here.
Has a job. I had it 3 years ago, a job. Went across the country with it. He's trying to create a job. You don't want no job. You want nothing. Anything to
okay,
help
Mr. Jordan, we got to stop you there. We're going to get a quick response from Mikhail. Mikhail, give me a quick response to what should we demand for our vote. What is the
all
point?
Right. I agree with Mr. Joyner. I would add one more thing, though. For all Americans, it's the money grip that's messing things up. You can vote certain people in, and the money seems to get them in the end. They're moving into a system that's pretty much already set. So if there's a way to begin to break that grip and get candidates in there who will be separated from that money influence, that's great. Other than that, we'll have to do some things for ourselves and take care of each other.
Okay, on that note, we'd like to thank our listening audience for allowing us the opportunity to come into your homes today and share our program as we discuss the Syria crisis as relates to the issue between the U.S. and Syria, along with the voter ID and voter suppression. As you know, Mr. Page of History is a biweekly talk show. It airs every other Saturday at 12 noon. If you want to listen to some of our past programs, you are always welcome to visit our archive. Again, it's at www.blogtalkradio.com/missing-page-of-history. Until next time, again, we thank you for your support, and we look forward to hearing your views and comments at Missing Pages of History. Let's remember to strive to go forward ever and backwards never. Information and knowledge is the key to success. Until next time.